Hey everybody, this is Caroline, and today I'm doing something special that I haven't done on this podcast before. I'm going to interview my good friend, Deanne Dean. So this morning at St. James Episcopal Church, I attended her 9 o'clock movement class and her first heart group offering that followed right after the movement class. They were exquisite offerings. I learned so much both from the movement class and from attending the heart group. And so we're going to jump in, Deanne, first and just tell us a little bit about your inspiration for creating both this heart group and the movement. And you can start wherever you want, whatever feels good to you.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
So glad you're here. This is tremendous.
I do love sharing time and space with you, so I really appreciate that. So it's hard to know where to start with this. Well, my restorative movement class started in 2016. It came out of, I had been a trainer for 15 years and just teaching people how to lift weights. And I ended up having a breakdown started to happen in my hip. I had sciatica so bad I could not sit down for very long, and I could not feel my toes. And so I had been teaching a model that, you know, as a trainer that we teach for 15 years and doing it myself. And it didn't make sense to me why I was having that kind of breakdown.
Right.
So I was in a lot of pain. I was only 39 years old at the time, and it didn't make sense to me. I was like, okay, I followed the formula. I've done the exercises that I have been taught to do. I've done them correctly. Why am I having this kind of breakdown? And so I got real curious about what was happening in my body. And it's probably like the first time I got curious about what was happening in my body.
Yeah.
I had always been just tell my body what to do.
Well, and as a collegiate athlete, you played basketball for Vanderbilt.
Right.
You just kind of powered through, I guess, most of the time.
Yes, I just got it done. I didn't say, hey, body, do you feel like doing something? I was just like, go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what you need to do. Get it done. And that was just, I trained. And I never, I had nagging injuries along the way, but I would always just get over it.
Yeah.
But this one, it stopped me.
Mm.
I was in so much pain. So I got real curious. At that time, I was working for a training company in a fitness gym. And I hadn't done that before. My business, I'd already always had people outside of a fitness gym in my own place. And I really started to pay attention at how everyone was moving.
Mm.
It was really interesting for me that pain in my body forced me to look at my body, but it also opened my eyes to how other people were moving.
Mm.
So I did go on a search for trying to fix myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you do when you're in pain, I guess. You just say, I got to fix this.
Yeah.
And so I just started to pay attention to my movement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just like little pieces, like little crumbs along the way. I'd get like, I had talked to one guy who had randomly met, and he gave me a truth that you can't stretch a weak muscle. And I thought, that's really interesting. I'd never heard that. And at the time, I was going into a yoga class trying to fix what I thought was maybe I needed to stretch. I'd never been much of a stretcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was more of a weightlifter.
Sure.
And so I went to yoga to try to see, like, maybe I just need to stretch. And I would at times in yoga feel some relief, but then the pain would come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you just keep getting, it's like for me, it's like digging in dirt. You just start to play around.
Yes.
And you start to look at stuff. So I started to look at how I just moved basic movements. Like, how did I sit? How was I standing? How was I walking? How are other people walking? You know, at the gym, I would see people on the Stairmaster for hours. and I would see no change in their, like, what they were working so hard and no change was happening with them. And I was like, okay, that's not how you walk.
Right.
And then my own clients, I was always joke, they would do these, I would train them how to do beautiful movements with exercise, different exercises, and then they would walk off for me kind of slouchy and poor posture. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, you can't walk, straighten up.
Right.
So I just started to pay attention and started to really get curious. A lot of crazy, amazing things happen in that space when you get curious.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild.
It can be very wild.
And just like you're open. Mm-hmm. I think too, I was willing to like look at everything that I was doing.
Yes.
And I think that is a what we call surrender.
Yeah.
Like maybe I was wrong. Maybe this is not what you do.
Right.
And I did have that. And so, yeah. So out of that, I started to, it's like my whole life started to come together. Like if you had a big like pot,
mm-hmm.
and everything I'd been taught as a trainer, as an athlete, what I experienced in my own training, it all started to go together.
Okay.
And so out of that, I started saying, okay, we're not doing things in the right order and progression. And then I started to see what is order and progression? You know, as an athlete, you know how to train order and progression. As athletes, you know you don't just start off doing like something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It starts small,
mm-hmm.
and you build and you build and you practice. So that's how it started. And I started doing I brought everything down to the most basic movement that I could.
Yes.
And then in that, it was really fun. I got like a handful of women. Most of these women were over 50. And we tested this restorative,
yes.
Movement class. And so it ended up fixing, I would say it ended up restoring my hip.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had feeling come back in my toes.
Yeah.
I don't have sciatica. I found real healing in that.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway is like I have the experience.
Yes, because when you were teaching this morning, I was very aware of, and of course I know so much of your story, but I was doing these movements with you and I was listening to you in my heart was just so full of gratitude for how willing you have been to, one, to be patient with your own body, to allow yourself to stay curious, and then to integrate all this information in a way that's going to benefit everyone who's willing to be open and learning about it. And so I appreciate you walking us through your process of learning. And I think it's so, the spiritual relevance of your willingness to stay open and to be curious, right? Like you kept everything in your awareness and you just kept allowing yourself to receive information and to let the spirit flow through it to bring us to this point. Because as I told you and your sweet husband, Jason, as I was doing this this morning, I was like, everybody needs this. Like, I don't know anybody who doesn't need this. So, okay, so that was how you came to this restorative movement class.
Right.
Okay, which is 9 o'clock for the next 11.
Wrong. No,
no,
we changed it. It's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock for the next 11 Saturdays at St. James Episcopal Church.
Yes.
Okay, so now tell us a little bit about heart groups. Like, how did that come to be? So you do an hour of movement. That starts at 1 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock, we do heart group. And so tell all of us a little bit about how did that originate? How was that inspired? Yeah.
Okay, so when I started to, okay, so let's go back. So in 2015, you know, I arrived at this place where, and I have pictures, so I always have proof. Like, I was in the best shape I had ever been in,
yeah.
Okay? At 39, I was in phenomenal shape. It looked like what I'd been teaching worked,
mm-hmm.
right? And
sure.
My blood tests were great. And so I looked healthy.
Sure.
And my blood test said I'm healthy, but I didn't feel healthy.
And so when you say you didn't feel healthy, like what did that mean to you? Like emotionally you didn't feel healthy, or you didn't feel healthy, like the feelings and sensations in your body? Like what didn't feel?
Well, I would
say. So you looked it and your blood was good.
Yeah, my test, my health, you know, my, again.
On paper.
On paper, on like just looking at me.
Visually.
Right.
Okay.
I was super strong. It's really funny. I mean, I wish sometimes I could go like just print off how many times I went to the gym. Just to like, it's just the truth. I worked out hard. People knew that I worked out hard. They knew I was strong. And then for me to be like, okay, at the peak of what I look like to be my healthiest, I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the first thing. Like, do you realize how much pain I'm in all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, for me, it was just like, I always like to, I do like the whole like crash and burn, hit the wall. To me, that was like a hit the wall moment. Mm-hmm. Like, clearly, Deanne, you don't know what you're talking about if you're in so much pain.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it worth looking, if it, like, looking like you're in shape if you don't feel like it? And so that made me say, well, if this is, I always come to these points, like at one point in my early on in my life, I said, well, if this is love, I don't want to be loved like this.
Mm.
And at this point I said, well, if this is health,
yes,
I don't want to be healthy anymore.
Right.
Because it doesn't feel healthy.
Yeah.
And so, so I did quit my job at this moment in time. And when this is a pretty big deal, I don't think I look back on my story, because this is my identity.
Yes, right.
I mean, I had built a identity, a career on training people this way, using this language.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I did have a spiritual, I feel like at that moment in time, everything aligned.
Okay.
Spirit, heart, mind, body aligned. And it was just like, and we're not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit my job and I said, I really did like turn to God and said, I want to know what health is.
Yeah.
Like I really do. And it, even if it means I've been wrong about everything, like I'm willing for you to show me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds just like a surrender.
It was a huge surrender, because this was my identity. This, I was known, I wanted to be the real strong, tough girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny. I always say, like, you arrive at that point and you're like, where's my award?
Yeah, where's my award? Where's the trophy?
And I didn't get a trophy.
Right.
I had a broken down hip and,
yeah.
You know, the reality, again, reality. And so... out of that, I just really started to dig into what is health.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that the way we define health in our culture and in our dictionary is the absence of sickness or disease.
The absence of sickness or disease. That's how we define health?
Yes.
Wow. So we define it in the negative.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so I was like, okay, but health is more than that.
So much more.
And so then I, you know, I was like, health, what does health mean? And it, and I was, you know, I came to this conclusion, like health and looking up the word, what the word itself meant, it meant to be whole. It meant to be healing. Mm. It meant to be holy.
Oh, wow.
These are all words that I love.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes. And then it was so interesting as I started reading Wendell Berry, he had come to the same conclusion.
Wow. And heal is the first four letters of health.
Right. And
right?
Have we forgotten that?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I've ever known it before talking to you.
Yeah.
It just never occurred to me.
Right.
I never thought about it.
So like, obviously it's more than the absence of sickness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more. And I do think like in our culture, we have reduced words to like these, we fragmented them.
Yes.
And kind of emptied out their meaning. Because for me, health involves life and death. A healthy person, everything in your body is living and dying all the time.
Right.
There's a turnover,
yeah.
Right? There's a
right.
Give, receive. There's a flow. There's an ebb and flow. For me, this, it was interesting that I do believe I'd had a spiritual awakening let me see, I was 39, probably at 34, 35, I had a spiritual awakening that God loved me. Like he loved me regardless of what I did or did not do. And then for me, this physical part, it was like God was moving in me to restore me. Like I felt that movement happen emotionally, mentally, and then of course, why wouldn't physical line up with that? So I started really listening to what was being said in the world, and I was just like, okay, we got to do something with our feelings. Because I do think we're doing everything we can to avoid them.
In this culture, absolutely.
We're trying to outdrink them, out eat them, outrun them. We eat
outshop them.
Right. We eat our feelings. We try to outscroll our feelings. Right. But our feelings, if we don't listen to them, they are going to determine what we do.
I think that's so true. And I've also seen some intersection and research around how emotion really can cause inflammation in the body. And so the body then really does function differently when we experience a lot of high intensity emotion. It's not to say high intensity emotion is bad. It's very human. But if we don't know what to do with it, if we don't know how to work with it and regulate it, it can become toxic in our bodies.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so the heart group, there was a lot of weight. I don't know. It's like I did this in 2015. So, you know, it's been a while since I started that. But I realized that we've got to listen to our feelings. And it's important that we start to say, like, maybe play around with them. And so I created like this list where I'm like, okay, these are probably more spiritual feelings and these are heart feelings for me. When I say heart, I mean, obviously the whole thing is heart, but when I talk about, like, I think you saw the sheet that I printed out. For me, spiritual feelings are these feelings that are flowing between me and the divine.
Yes.
And then that to me sets a tone. It starts to be like a waterfall effect.
Ah, okay.
And then the next feelings for me is like the four major feelings: scared, happy, angry, sad. So those are temporary feelings. If you are ever stuck in one of those, like perpetually, if you're angry all the time.
Yeah.
You better check into that.
Right.
Right.
If you're sad all the time. Right. We know that's depression.
Right.
If we're scared all the time, that becomes anxiety.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't want to get stuck in those feelings. You want those to be, you need those in every present moment to know if you're in harm or to feel it, to experience that present moment. And then mental feelings. So I had clients come to me and be like, I am just so tired. And I would say, okay, are you mentally tired? Are you physically tired? I mean, obviously, there's all connected, but there are distinctions there.
Right.
And so it's like, I thought it would be fun to dig around. I think, again, like we have to approach these things kind of playfully, even if they're hard.
Right.
And we've got to be curious and say, am I willing to share and get these feelings out into the light? Do we have anybody to do that with? Because if I don't, they are going to be a cause of sickness and disease.
Right. Right. Okay. So walk us through a little bit. Like, you created this one-page sheet, which I just thought was brilliant, for our heart group. So because it provided a structure. Right. So we all sat down. You welcomed us so warmly.
Thanks.
And you just have a natural ability with that, obviously. And then but then we had something in our hands to help us ground us, to know what we were doing. There wasn't a question mark. And you talked about, I can't remember the exact words you used, but it reminded me of how I talk with one of my sons about structure and flow. Right. So you provided enough structure for us so that we could flow in our communication and sharing with each other. So do you want to talk a little bit about, like, how did you come up with this one-page sheet? And how are you thinking about structure and flow in the design of heart groups?
Yeah, that's a very... Okay, so when I started, thinking about health, one thing, I came out of obviously an athletic my history and experience has been athletics, okay? I've not been real curious about, you know, feelings, right?
Right.
I've been raised to practice, to be disciplined, to get things done. I always joke and say I came out of a just do it model.
Right, a Nike model.
Right.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Okay.
So it's about structure. It's about discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that is a strength of mine.
Yeah.
And so when I started to think about health, what's interesting enough is you've got a whole culture telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than ever. They don't ask you to ask questions. They're like, just do this, just do this, just do this.
Right.
Just do this to try to manipulate your feelings. Just do this.
Mm.
The question that I started to ask is, how am I designed?
Mm.
I started to trust that I have a design that actually works.
Okay.
That I have a design that is spiritual design. Like, let's just say spirit. I have a spirit design. I have a heart design. I have a mind design, a body, and relationship. And what's interesting is all these minor are the same as my whole design.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So here I am teaching structure in a physical way.
Right.
And I realized that we needed to structure and other areas too.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think I push back. I'm a pushbacker, I would say. But when people say, it doesn't matter what you do, just do something. Mm-hmm. I would be like, don't.
Don't. Please don't.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. Because that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have structure. I like to say, between my husband and I call the words containment and attunement,
mm-hmm.
structure and flow, what you're saying, that I am the container.
Okay.
And he's all over the place. He's flow.
And he's the flower.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so I feel like I'm constantly trying to organize him.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So he can flow.
Yes.
But what's really beautiful is his attunement, which is so beautiful, it gives me structure too.
Yes.
It's how it works both ways.
Yeah.
So I felt like, you know, here I do believe that you are designed and that has structure,
mm-hmm.
and organization and process and order. These are all good words. I feel like the discipline word, we've well, don't do that.
Yes.
No, I think they're beautiful.
There's
words.
Something really healthy about discipline, but you're right. It has been co-opted to, in some situations or a lot of situations, we see it as really negative. So, you know, one of the things I love about you, Deanne, is that you really are trying to reclaim words.
Yes.
Like to the essence of what they, you know, originally meant, so that they can have their true meaning again. And not just, you know, so that on paper we're getting it right, but how we're living that word, language matters.
Absolutely. And that was one thing I think that we don't realize is that your language and how you speak about things are determining your reality.
Yes.
Okay. And it's so funny, so many of my, I'm paralleling at all times, but for me, just even spiritually, you know, I feel like we have let words like love be totally dismantled.
Yes.
and they can mean everything, and they can just mean a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what love is.
Yeah. Well, so how would you define love?
I mean, I love the word affection. I feel like it's more sweaty.
Yeah. A little more gritty.
Right. I love the word affection. I feel like that is where maybe right now, maybe we substitute the word love for affection, because to me, when I think about affection, I'm running, I'm sweating, I'm jumping, I'm climbing to get to that.
Yes.
To feel that, to give that, to receive that. And I feel like that's what Jesus showed us in the Bible. You know, mm-hmm. he showed people that were willing to climb up trees, and he talks about jumping over fences and swimming across seas. That's what I think love is.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I like the word love. I think about love too in the word sobriety. Sobriety is all, it really means all action.
All action.
If you're sober minded, you're all action.
So, but what relationship do you think this has of, because I have been someone who's been like all action. Like some bosses have even teased me that I've been like an Energizer bunny. And so part of my work in the world has learned to be, to allow myself to just be, right? To actually not act so much, to not do so much, to come into more of a trusting that my being is enough. That I don't always have to be doing or producing. So, like, engage me on that of that definition of love and in context to what I'm saying about being. Because I think that they're interrelated, but I don't want it to get
Yeah,
lost.
I think it's the same thing. I think being is your first act. Right?
Oh,
I think,
okay.
just like today, the practice the basics is breathe, listen, ask, look, and touch.
Yes.
I think those are the best actions. So when we, again, it's like going back and looking at these words, action, well, that starts with being present. That is your first movement. Being
We don't think of that as movement, but the way you're talking about it, that makes sense to
right.
me.
And I would say like breathing is your first exercise that I
Yeah.
want you to do.
Right.
And that's what I saw even in training, like the way we teach people to breathe is actually opposite
Yeah.
of the movement that we're doing.
Right.
So I think again it's like for us to come back into a space and like let's Socrates did say the beginning of wisdom is the definition of words. And I agree with that. I think that we have got to come back in and start to speak a new language. I don't like the language that I had taught and heard in the diet and fitness industry. I don't like the language that I have been taught, and I spoke and heard in other places. Whether that was at times in the church or with my, just in the world. So I do think like let's come back and like be slow.
Let's be slow.
Let's talk slow. Let's come back to the
Oh,
beginning.
yeah.
Let's be. Let's go back to order and progression.
So we talk a little bit about the five basics because I think you're really on to something with this. We've got to go back. And in a way, it's only in going back that we can move forward in a healthy way. The more I listen to you, the more that's really soaking in, sinking in for me is and the way you've been able to again really synthesize all this learning that you've had from so many different disciplines to these five basics. So can you talk kind of flesh out each of the five a little bit so people have an idea about what you're talking about?
And I would say like how this kind of came about. I honestly at times can't tell you exactly how this
Oh,
came about,
sure. No,
right?
no.
Because I do feel like there has been something really spiritual. It's been a gift to me.
Yes.
I do believe that I emptied myself and God was like, "Thank you."
Yes.
Because I really had to turn when I started to empty, I had to turn and say, "I believe everything I've been saying this whole time has been wrong." That's pretty humiliating and humbling.
Well, but I've learned humiliation is really negative. But being humbled, like being humbled by a loving God, is love.
And I would say humiliation for me, I needed it. I struggle with being a know-it-all.
Okay, all right, all right.
So I take it. I really enjoyed the process. It was funny to me
Okay.
because I am such a know-it-all. I always like God's like, I knew you had a big mouth, so now we're gonna use it the right
Yeah,
way,
yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, so when I so the breathe, listen, ask, look, touch. So when I and honestly, it's kind of interesting to me that this came through like a physical
Right.
when I was thinking more about body.
Sure.
Because I started listening to everything everyone was saying.
Well, these bodies are vessels, right? I mean,
Yes.
Paul says that. I mean, don't forget, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I use the word vessel. Like, your body is a vessel. So it doesn't surprise me at all that it came through you thinking about body. But yeah, keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that was me. It's just like saying like Okay, I got serious that my body was sacred. Like, I really did turn and be like, okay, I understand my spirit's sacred, my heart's sacred, my body. What am I doing to my body? But in this, I think it's really interesting. I do think if in whatever vein you're in, whatever area you're in, whatever you would like to call your expertise, if you actually start to listen and be aware, you will find the same, you'll be led to the same truth that I was led this way. But so let's just say the workout world, I would constantly hear people like, return to the basics, get back to the basics. And then I would watch what they did. And they would do like the most complicated exercise routine I've ever seen, like jump squats. I'm like, okay, I don't know how many people can do jump squats. That's silly. And so I was like, that's not basic. What is basic? No matter who I was, what would be the most basic thing as a human being? If we're like to start at the point where we're all the same, like start on the positive. Like, not how are we all different, but how are we all the same? What is the most basic thing? And I kept like kind of toying with how we were born, and then also like elite athletes. I kind of like to see like who's operating at the most purest, like, kind of level in a way, like movement wise. So that basic came back, like, how are we all the same? And that was where like we need to br we breathe, right? That's something I can do. That's an exercise. We can listen. We all need to listen to our bodies, to our, what's saying, what's going on in our heads. Like, that's the thing. When I started listening at the voices in my own mind, that was a turning point for me too, because I started to realize that was my voice. So listening, you gotta listen. That would be your next. They say babies, is their first thing is they hear in the womb. So you're listening. So listen. The next one is ask questions. Okay, that probably I push back on how we all know everything. Like little kids start off asking
So many
questions.
questions.
Little kids don't start off with, I am telling you like it is.
Yeah,
Right?
right.
That usually they ask their
But
question
yes,
asker. And I
right.
did start to see in my own practice when I trained people, they never asked me a question. They didn't say, why are we doing this? They just came in and said, I don't want to think, just tell me what to do.
Right.
And I said, sure, I'll do
Sure. Yeah.
that. I'll do that. And I started to be like, why? Why would you? You don't even know me. You don't even know my whole story. And I
Right.
started to see that just with people, period. We are listening to so many people that we don't know, who don't know our story. They don't know our bodies. They don't know our names. And we're letting them tell us what to do with our bodies,
Right.
our hearts, our minds. So, like, ask questions. Like, who are you?
Who are you?
Does your words match your life?
Right. Is there an alignment?
Yes. Like, and so that was a big one. So then the next one is breathe, listen, ask questions, look. Okay. Look to me is look at your reality. What are you doing? I don't think that we are looking at what we're doing. How are we participating in either the honoring and loving of our own bodies or the destruction of it? And so I had to look at my reality, like what was happening around me? What was I doing? How was I participating? And that is like, I know that's scary for a lot of people. I know that's a hard place thing, and I don't think you can do that on your own. I think you're gonna need help.
Companions.
You do, because you still,
Trusted companions.
yes, and people you've asked questions to before, you know? And so for me, it was like, look. I also say, look to nourish. So that's a big thing for me, because I do think your first movement should be look to nourish your body, your mind, your
Well,
heart.
like, so, like, what would an example of that be? When you are looking to nourish, can you give us an example of when you have looked to nourish?
Yeah, so I was started. So, like I said, and when I started to think about health, my health, what was my reality. I looked at everything. I looked at the TV shows I watched, the music I listened to, the people I was around. I looked at my relationships. I looked at everything. I was willing to put everything on the table and say, does this nourish me?
Wow.
Does this nourish me? Mm-hmm. And if it didn't, I got rid of it.
Yeah.
And so, and also, like, that comes spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, like, and to say, like, does this nourish me? So that is how I ended up going plant-based.
Okay.
Because I was like,
you were looking at what you were putting in your body.
Right. And I was looking at the results. Mm-hmm. You know, after I came off my most strict high protein, low carb diet, I bloated like you would not believe when I started eating again. Mm-hmm. And that didn't make sense to me either.
Right.
But, you know, I had to look at my reality, like, and say, like, why did that happen?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And to start to see that I had these truths for myself spiritually, that was like, I am designed to be filled up. Spiritually, like, I look at God and I say, fill me up with so much love, right?
Yeah.
And then I look at and I say, fill my mind with so much truth, but then I portion controlled my body. Like, yeah. That didn't make sense to me. Like, I'm not falling, like, a truth is a truth is a truth is a truth. Mm-hmm. So I said, what foods could I eat in abundance that I know that I didn't have to measure, weigh, calculate? Like, I was done with that.
Yeah.
And I could eat it in abundance and say, and just walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's how I ended up going plant-based, because I was like, I can eat vegetables, fruits, whole grains in abundance, not worry about it, and walk away and think about other things.
Lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. I would say, like, during that time, I call that a time of solitude for me, that this happened, because... Mm-hmm. You know, I did kind of go into a quiet place.
Yeah.
And I just really asked God to nourish me. Mm. So that, and then to the last one is touch. For me, I don't think we realize how important our relationship to creation, to creatures, to other human beings, to the Creator, how much that is determining actually our health. Mm-hmm. That connection. Wendell Berry says health is connection. You cannot heal in loneliness. Mm. He said that to heal, you must come to the dance, basically. It's
beautiful.
I love that.
I love that too. In order to heal, you must come to the dance.
And that's the thing. Like, touch is a big thing. Like, physically, we all need touch. Mm-hmm. We need to touch to be in reality. Mm-hmm. Even your imagination does not... Imagination is not coming up with a great idea. Imagination, and I'll go back to Wendell Berry, says, is to see things clearly, to see things with love. Okay, well, imagination, and if you look up any, like, study on imagination, it is built first through reality,
right?
Through your experience. So if
your experience of reality,
right? And so if you're not touching leaves and trees and smelling clean air or smelling the dirt. I have such a huge memory of smelling dirt.
Growing up on a farm,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's like down in your soul, that smell. But if you're not doing that, you don't have a chance to develop imagination. Mm. You don't have a chance to live in reality. And I think our phones have done this. Like, that's not reality scrolling.
Right.
Your finger on a screen.
Yeah.
So I do think we have to invite people back into this space where we are touching each other spiritually, emotionally, hugs. Mm-hmm. I had one big moment I had in moving back to Knoxville, and this lady still doesn't know it. But it was at a church service. And you know how we just sit there in our own little pews and we're just so, like, it feels like you're isolated even there.
Oh, yeah.
But during that moment where there, somebody, you know, you say, keep
the peace.
Right.
Yeah, you share the peace.
Right. This lady hugged me. And I almost start crying because I haven't been hugged very, you know, even when you're married, you know, you need more than one person's touch to keep you in the real world.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why I think nature is so powerful. Like, you don't realize you're being touched by light, by smell, by so many things when you go out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and obviously your pets and
yeah.
So that's the thing. I think that's a basic practice. These are the most basic exercises that anybody can do.
They are, and they're very intentional.
Yes.
Right? I mean, maybe the hardest thing about it, they're very basic and they're simple. The only hard part is intention, to follow through on doing all five of them, being all five of them.
And right.
Yeah. So I want to go back to look, because our group this morning, I think, was really captivated by the way you talked about look, with water and sun. Am I thinking of the right thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Water and sun and fiber and walk. And there was another one. I can't think of it. But
okay.
Can just tell us a little bit about those elements of look.
Okay. So when I created Breathe, Listen, Ask, Look, Touch, and I call them practice the basics, mm-hmm. okay? Part of this first phase for me was to bring us back as a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
So let's gather back. Let's quit like putting our spirit over here. And I feel like that's what we've done in a way. We're like, I'll take my spirit and go to church.
Yep.
And then I'll take my body and go to the gym. And then maybe I'll listen to a podcast with my mind. And I wanted to bring us back to be like, yeah, they're not disconnected.
That's right. You're interested in integration.
Right. I'm interested in how do we nourish the whole person at the same time?
Yes.
Because we're not disconnected. Like, even when you think you're not in your body and you're eating, you're feeding your body.
Right.
That has an effect on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, this was about let's gather back to realize we're a whole people,
mm-hmm.
And we are human beings, mm-hmm. and there's a practical things we need to do. And that I do believe that being the best human being is probably the most spiritual, greatest offering as well.
Mm-hmm.
But look, so When I came up with this, look fell underneath body for me in a way.
Okay.
That I realized that I can't, when I say the word health, everybody thinks immediately food and exercise.
Yeah. Well, that's how we've been trained in this culture.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I know that's coming. And I know we need to eat
mm-hmm.
at least three times a day. And I know that the way we eat affects your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your anxiety, your mental condition. It affects your relationships. You know, that what is that whole thing like, don't have a conversation if you're angry, if you're tired.
A hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Right,
yes.
Right. And spiritually, I mean, spiritually eating helps you to remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, food and spiritual connection is such a nourishment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so amazing. Like, once you start to really dig into that piece. But I was just like, okay, so let's take like a basic practice that we need to do,
mm-hmm.
and we'll do it, and then we'll set that aside, and we're not going to really talk about it.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Because I feel like we've overtalked the food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've overcomplicated it, and now it's a distraction from the stuff we really need to talk about.
Okay.
So what is it that most people are not doing the basics, okay? Are you drinking enough water?
Mm.
And I would say clean water. Make sure you're getting good, clean source of water. I mean, again, what does it matter if you are doing all this other stuff, listening to podcasts, meditating, working out, and you're drinking crap water?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, that's pretty basic, right? So make sure you have a clean source of water. Most people are dehydrated.
I'm dehydrated all the time.
Right. We don't even think about that and how that's affecting everything. Go out in the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are vitamin D deficient, and you need to expose yourself to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I just love when I go outside and look at the sun.
Yeah.
It just feels so beautiful just to feel that on my face.
Well, it's a natural pleasure,
it
right?
is.
I mean, all you have to do is go outside. I mean, you need the sun to actually be out. But it doesn't cost anything.
It's free.
Yep.
I love this, that these things are free.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that was the other thing. Yeah, you don't need a gym membership.
Right.
Okay. So sleep. If you're, I would say, even though I think these are all equal,
mm-hmm.
I would say that sleep is one of the most important things you can do.
I totally agree. In fact, I was just doing research this past week on the importance of sleep for physical and mental health. I was studying it for my abnormal psychology class, and the data, the research around sleep. I also had a mentor a couple years ago who said, and she's just kind of brilliant and has all these tools to help people do all kinds of things. But she said, if I could take one kind of like elixir off the shelf, right, and to give to people, it would be good sleep. Because that, she said, more than anything else, is can has the most potential to create and maintain health. Yeah.
I would agree. I would agree that sleep, like if you are not getting sleep, it's going to be the first movement that's going to get your day off.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be reaching for things to try to like stay alive in a way.
Exactly.
You're going to be in survival mode. So sleep, so sun, water, sleep. The fourth thing is fiber. So 97% of Americans do not eat the RDA of fiber, which the RDA of fiber is actually really low. So your gut, if you want to talk about gut health, your gut lives on fiber. And fiber is only found in fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and whole grains. Okay.
Okay.
And yes, I would try to buy all organic stuff. And that's the thing. I know the moment I say this, like we're already going to swim in some funny waters with people because, again, there's so much information out there. But you, if you're okay, 1 in 10 Americans are eating the RDA of fruit and vegetable.
1 in 10?
1 in 10. So I don't want to talk about like.
Yeah.
All this other stuff, when we're not drinking water, when we're not eating fruits and vegetables.
Right, keep it basic, people.
Right, most basic. You're not, your kids are not eating them. Our chronic disease has gone through the roof. At the time that I started to do this, it was already horrific, and it's just gotten worse since 2015.
Yeah.
And we're not eating fruit and vegetables. It doesn't take much research to find this stuff out. So I would say fill up. You can, you could eat as many fruits and vegetables as you could want.
Yes.
Okay. And it would only have a positive effect. And that's when I went plant-based, I was like, I was in the state. I'm like, I'm about to break every diet rule that I have ever.
Was it liberating?
It was. I'm like, I'm going to eat at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm going to break every single one. I'm going to eat as much as I want. I'm not going to eat till I'm 80% full. I'm going to eat till I'm 100% full. And I'm going to trust that my body knows what to do.
Yes.
And I just leaned into that as hard as I could. But my only guideline, which I did not make a rule because I believe I always try to break a rule, is I said, your guideline is you can eat whatever you want, how much you want, whenever you want, but it has to be whole food, plant-based.
Okay.
And that was, and I said, let's see if this works.
Okay. Because we'll just run a little experiment.
Right. Because I had done the high protein, low carb for 15 years, and I actually saw how hard that was.
Yeah.
And how little food, it's almost like you have to eat less and less and less food to maintain that.
Yeah.
And people don't even realize that.
Right.
Just your portions are small.
Yeah.
And so it was a liberating. I mean, yeah. I have eaten more bread in the past 8 years.
Yeah, I bet.
I've never ate bread before, but it has been like, I swear, Caroline, since 2015, I have never calculated. I was a huge calculator. I've never thought about portions, and it has been so freeing.
Oh.
And so, yeah, fiber. So fiber. And then the last thing was walking. I think walking is the absolute perfect exercise. I feel like my restorative class is to help you walk correctly because I don't think most of us walk correctly. And so we're not getting the benefit of that. I think every step you think, this is nourishing my body. I'm outside. I'm in the sun.
Yes.
I'm breathing air. I'm talking with my friend. I mean, you're just nailing all the most wonderful things.
Right.
And that's a game changer. I don't know. I think you're a walker, talker,
I am.
Too.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the most sacred things you can do, walking and talking with a friend. It has been a life changer for me.
Yeah, I would say it has been for me too.
And that's where you really kind of, it kind of like it makes it go deeper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's almost like it's getting into your body. You're integrating the conversation physically through the bilateral movement
of
walking.
Which is so cool if you think about how walking is affecting your, you know, it's improving your digestive system.
Yeah.
Walking correctly is affecting your lymphatic, your cardio, like all your systems. Why wouldn't it affect?
Exactly.
Right. Why wouldn't that integrate and deepen that more?
Right. Right. So we're just going to go a little bit longer, but I have this burning question that I've got to ask you. So this is, you're talking about stuff, Deanne, that I think everybody in the whole world needs, right? Like every human being needs to return to the basics for their physical health, their mental health, their emotional health, their spiritual health, and how it all works together for the individual greater good, but then how that works for the greater good of the whole, whether that's the whole of the family or the whole of the community or the whole of the world, right? It's all interrelated and interconnected. And so why offer this restorative movement class and heart group in a church?
Oh.
Was there any intention to that, or like what, why a church?
That's a really good question, Caroline. I mean, that really digs into it digs into a lot, that question. And that when I went into trying to figure out what health means, I actually quit going to church.
Mm.
Because I had walked away from church being like, you're not even helping people be good human beings.
Mm.
Like, I saw chronic disease, it's ravaging Christians as much as non-Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about that. And I'm wondering why we don't ask that question. It's actually higher, if you look at the research, in churches.
What is?
Chronic disease.
Chronic disease is higher
in
Christians.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was just like, that doesn't make sense. And then I was thinking, like, through my own church experience, like, why haven't you talked to me about these things? I mean, I was like, you teach me about how to defend the gospel, or let's have another study on hermeneutics, or, you know, all these things. But yet one time you didn't say, like, hey, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, it was just like it was like we didn't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or how's your relational health? Like there was no questions. It was always like that was ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I quit going to church to look for health, I was just like, I feel like this is what should be happening in churches.
Mm.
Like I believe that if we really do say that I came to this point, like my body really is sacred. Like who's touching my body? Who's touching my mind?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I letting have access to me? I feel like the church has to step up, and it should be the person where, maybe not step up, but this should be flowing out of churches.
Yes.
Like we love you so much that we want to feed you the best food. We want to touch you and show that you need to be touched. Not every touch is a bad touch.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have touch, you know, when babies are not touched in cribs, they don't form correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's adults too.
Right.
Right? So I was kind of, I feel like for me, like I was a little angry at the church at the time when this came out, because I'm like, look,
because they weren't, would you say, because they weren't seeing you and approaching you as a whole person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I definitely think the type of church I was in, especially as a woman, I wasn't given a voice.
Okay.
And
that's a big disconnect.
Very big. And I was just like, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I, you know, what's interesting, me trying to find my voice during that time.
Yes.
Because I'd never had been allowed to.
Well, and doesn't that make such good intuitive sense, even if you didn't know that that was part of the reason why you were leaving church, was part of your healing journey, maybe a big part of your healing journey, was finding your voice and being able to use your voice. You could not have done that and stayed in the culture in which you were being quote unquote formed if women weren't allowed to have a voice.
Right.
I mean, you could not have actually healed. You could not have found your wholeness if you were going to continue to be asked to not have a voice, or to be understood that you wouldn't have a voice.
I would agree. Like, I mean, your voice is part of your whole
Yeah. Right.
But I think for me, like, I always say this, like, I maybe stepped at that moment in time, I quit allowing maybe doctrine to tell me who I am, and I really let God tell me who I
So
am.
you attuned to the divine very intentionally one-on-one, right? You trusted
I did.
that God was going to meet you in your individuality and the people around you. And that was the formation that you were looking for.
Yes, and I would tell you, like, prior to that, I had looked around and been like, where are my mentors? And I was like, where are they?
Where are they?
And I feel like that was a void for me. Like, where are the people saying these kind of things? And so I do think my journey with God is one amazing, because I really think in the willingness to kind of lose all that, I really discovered something incredible with him, a relationship that is just amazing. And I allow it to not only inform me spiritually and emotionally, mentally, but also physically and relationally.
Yeah, it's
I do
beautiful.
think that's a thing that we don't allow our relationship with God to inform us really, I mean, physically.
Right, we have arenas where you say, "All right, God, this is yours."
Right.
And I think we think we've surrendered our whole lives, but when we take an honest kind of inventory of our lives, we're like, "Oh my gosh, I am like massively trying to control this relationship
Yes.
or my job or whatever it is." And so I love that idea of looking to go and with honesty to say, am I allowing God to inform me? Is the breath of the Holy Spirit guiding me in all these arenas of my life? Or when I take an honest look, am I really trying to control some of them while maybe giving, partially or some of them?
Yeah, I think you heard me say this today, but this is true. I was like sitting there and I was with God, and I was like, it's kind of funny where I'm like, God, just take my spirit and take my heart and my mind. And then it came to my body, I'm like, back off.
Back off.
I've got this.
This one I've got.
I don't need you stepping in here. And it was. I was willing to give that to him.
Yeah.
To like again, that alignment. I do think that alignment goes from inside out. And I
Yes.
find that in my own journey. It did happen with a spiritual awakening. Then the emotions were allowed. Then I was like, oh, I can think my own thoughts. Like, wait,
Yes.
what? Because, like
Yes.
a lot of times in churches, they say, don't trust your mind or your heart. And I'm like, no, I am going to trust these feelings
Because
that
God's flowing through them.
and then I'm going to listen to them so that I can respond appropriately. And then I'm going to listen to my thoughts so that I
Yeah.
can see what I am thinking. And one thing that happened to me right before I quit my job was, it was like everything had been taken away that told me what to do. And I had a voice in my head that said, like, no one crushes you like you. And
Oh.
I had to realize, like, I was the one doing these things to my, I to see my own participation,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
So yeah, I think so in the church now, so I'm gonna bring this around. So why church now? I think it should have always been in a church. I
Yeah.
think this is a spiritual movement. I think it's like
Would
we
you say it's a movement of the spirit?
absolutely both and,
Both and,
right? Doesn't have
right?
to be an either or.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I really do think that health begins with knowing who you are. So the question is, who's telling you who you are?
Oh, God, that's beautiful. So, Deanne, I'm wondering, as you've shared so graciously with us about all these different offerings and the process of how they arrived in your own being, to the point where you're sharing them with other people, does this feel like a calling to you? I mean, God has been so present, it sounds like, in your curiosity, in your awareness building, in the collection of experiences, how you've integrated it, all of it. Like God, the movement of God, which we call the Holy Spirit, feels so present in all of this. And I know from spiritual direction work that I do with people that when there's that much movement of the spirit in something, it sometimes, not always, but it sometimes is a calling. Like it's somebody living into what they feel called to do and to be in this world. And so if that's something that resonates with you, I'm just curious, like, how you would respond to a sense of calling with all of this.
Yeah, I think, you know, while I do like kind of how Richard Rohr, I do like how Richard Rohr talks about the first and second half of life. Mm-hmm. And I would say my first half of life, you know, you're just, I like to think of it as like you're accumulating a bunch of, what is that when you, the firewood stuff around you, like what is that, tinder or?
Yeah, tinder.
Yeah, I think you're, that's right. You're accumulating a lot of around you, a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. Like if you're willing to look at that. And then the second half of life, it's like it's set on fire.
Yeah.
And it becomes one, a fire burning. And I think where the you know me, and I've told you how I felt like a tornado.
Yeah.
And I think that when it gets like too much is when I can't do it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel like I have been in a place where I haven't been able to follow my calling, and it's almost like that destruction. It starts to get me.
Yes. Right.
And so I feel calling makes you, like, you feel more alive.
Yeah.
Like, in every, like, even sitting here with you today, I feel so alive.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I feel it too, yeah.
Like, it's not just like, you know, and I'm sitting here.
Right.
Right? I'm not really doing anything, but I feel so alive. Like, my heart's on fire. Mm. And I feel like that's calling.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. You know, I have to just point this out because my favorite definition in the prayer book is about grace. And in the definition of grace, it says it's God's favor towards us, unearned and undeserved. And it's by God's grace that God forgives our mistakes and stirs our hearts, enlightens our minds, and strengthens our will. And I would add to God's will, not strengthens our own individual will. But like when you talk about your heart being on fire, like I even feel the movement of the spirit of that, right? Like that is grace. That is you experiencing God's grace in your heart space with the spirit stirring your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, and it feels like the alignment, mm-hmm. you know, like I know like when I'm walking correctly, how yes. good that feels,
right?
You know, nothing's hurting, and I'm moving, and that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Calling for me.
So I've said this a number of times this morning, both in our time while we've been recording, but then also during the two different offerings, the restorative movement and the heart group, and when I was talking to Jason in the kitchen, of I just feel like everybody I know, probably everybody in the world to some degree, needs to learn how to use their body so that it has, I don't mean proper as in but the way that the body can be used most efficiently, so that we're creating structure in the body so that energy or spirit can flow through us with the greatest capacity. And then these heart groups, the opportunity to be seen and heard in meaningful ways by other people. And to learn, like, what am I feeling and how do I articulate that and how do I risk the vulnerability of sharing that with other people, which I think is the essence of heart group, really showing up and being seen and being willing to be seen mm-hmm. and heard. So how can people learn about what you and your husband Jason are doing? Where can they find that information? Can anybody come to St. James, or is it just for people at St. James? Like, how can people plug in with the goodness of what you all are offering?
Yeah, so I would say back to the calling, like Jason and I feel, my husband Jason Dean, feel like we have been called to be cultivators of space. We are called to feed people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so Jason, you know, in January we started our Ready to Go plant-based meals because we want to feed people good food. Mm-hmm. And so that's what he's doing. We feel like that's an an easy entry point because we all need to be fed good food.
Yes.
We all deserve to be fed good food. I feel like there's so many people that aren't given that opportunity or know how to do that. So we love the food as it's easy. It's easy. You gather, you eat. We love that. Oh, we love the food. So the food is one way you can be involved in what we're doing. There's a lot of even tentacles to that, how we're trying to connect the dots. You do not have to be a member of St. James to attend any of our class offerings. What's been so beautiful is St. James has opened their doors to us.
They have been so welcoming.
So kind, so generous. And we do. I think they're in, you know, in our world right now in Knoxville and elsewhere. Churches are amazing spaces that we can gather. These are actual buildings that
yes.
maybe are not being used throughout the week. And it's been really beautiful to see St. James say, we're not using it. Please come in and use our building for the community.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And so, yeah, you don't have to be a member. Honestly, I love the fact that I just want human beings to show up. You don't
yes.
have to have a level of exercise, stamina, or anything. This is just like, again, we're all starting again. Isn't that cool to think, like, come start again with us?
Yeah. Well, and so what would you say to the people out there that are like, you know what, I've been hurt by church. I told myself I'd never step into a church again. This sounds really cool, and it sounds like maybe something that I want or need in my life, but I don't want to have to walk through a church door. So what would you say to those people?
Well, I would say I've been there too,
right? Yeah, so you have empathy and compassion.
Right, and I would say this. I think this is, I said this to another person before. I think if for us to begin again and for us to go a different way, you got to trust somebody. And I want people to know that you can trust me. I hope that you would get to know me so you know to trust me.
Right. Put some marbles in the marble jar of trust.
Right.
Yes.
Because I would never hold a class or anything in an environment where I think people could be traumatized or triggered or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see me. I'm a big girl. I'm 6 feet tall. I feel like part of me is a protector.
Yes.
I feel like I have big, long arms. They're like my big arm wings, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always thinking about God and his big arms and his wings that come around me. And I feel like that's what he's called me to do, too.
Yeah. So what would you say to the people who are like just wondering, like, oh my gosh, is this going to be a lot about religion? Or are you trying to, like, feed me something? Like, well, what would you say to those people?
Yeah, those are good questions. No, I mean, for me, when I started, like, what is health, you know, and trying to figure out what is health, I did remove all God talk from it because I'm like, okay, let's start with, like, how are you designed as a human being?
Yep.
Before we get to that, these are sacred conversations around religion and what you believe. But I do think that, that's a tough one, because I do believe that a higher power is involved to tell you how you're designed.
Yeah.
Because I think if you don't have someone saying you are a giver and receiver of life, of love, of truth, instead of saying you're a consumer.
Right.
What do you feel like?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like let's look at reality. What is feeling like? What are the results of that? So I am not here, or Jason. We're always going to be very respectful and honoring of your beliefs. We want to honor you as our fellow human being. We want to feed you good food. We want to hear your feelings that we believe all human beings have.
Yeah.
And so I try to be very sensitive to that. And at the same time, not allowing that to limit my share my experience,
sure.
strength, and hope.
Right. So one of the things that I was really appreciative of as we met today in both the restorative movement and the heart group was that it did feel very spiritual to me. It didn't feel religious. I mean, I think at times people use the word God. But for all the people out there who have left organized religion or who consider themselves more spiritual than religious or only spiritual, not religious, I think this is just a tremendous opportunity to find community and to allow yourself to be fed in a multi-faceted way.
Yeah, and I would say, like, so one of, I would say, if you know, I try to keep always, the hardest thing when people are like, boil it down to what, like, what this is about. But what this is about is, it's remembering who you are.
Mm.
Everything we do is to help you to remember who you are.
Yeah.
And how you're designed to be a healthy, mm-hmm. a whole, a holy, for me that is a sacred. You are sacred. You are. I mean, like, I look at you and just see life bursting and love and energy through you. Like, everyone has that. I want us to recover that, like, us understanding that about ourselves. And you're a human being. So let's start there.
Yeah.
Let's
right.
start, like, just with the most basic things before we even go to a more, even though we know all this is the same, spiritual, is interdependent and interconnected with everything. Like, we all know that, but let's start with just being, like, let's focus on being really good human beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really want, like, let's come back here.
Right.
Can we all agree?
Let's just embody the goodness.
Can we all agree that we're human beings?
Yes.
You know, and I've sat with children. It's been really interesting. I did a class at a Boys and Girls Club, and I started with, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
And I'm
no,
like,
we're not.
I said, yes, we are. And they're like, no, we're not. And I said, how are we not the same? You have eyes, mm-hmm. a nose, skin,
mm-hmm.
hair. You're a human being. Like, we have to start again where we're all the same.
Yes.
Instead of, like, starting with how we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could come back into a space to realize we are all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we maybe can start to rebuild from there.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Okay. So again, how can people find out about heart groups and the restorative movement? How can they learn more about you and Jason? How can they learn about the plant-based meals that you all do? Like, where do
okay.
people find you?
So, you know, I'm not telling you I'm great at all this part, but I am trying to list stuff on the viveacademy.org
okay.
website.
So it's just viveacademy.org. Okay.
Right. And that will talk to you about the meals, some of the offerings. I need to obviously do a little bit better job, but there's also practicethebasics.com, which is listing our events.
Okay.
And they're connected.
They're connected. So you can find either one, whichever site you go to.
Right.
Okay. So, but practicethebasics.com.
Right. And it would list the events. I'm trying to use that page right now to list events that may change in the future, but right now.
That's where you can find events.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Beautiful. So we didn't actually talk about the meals very much. Could you share just briefly about these plant-based meals and how people can order them?
Okay, that's, yeah. So the plant-based meals, which we relaunched in January, there's so many things. I'm trying to, like, nail it down. But the plant-based meals is each week we do a health box.
A health box, okay.
And each box has three meals in them. Three meals, breakfast cookies, and organic bread from Fräulein Wonder Bakery. She's amazing. So the whole box, each meal would serve two people.
Mm-hmm.
A half box serves one person. You order, I release the menu on Sunday, and then you have until Tuesday to order. And then I deliver on, I either deliver or you pick up on the following Sunday.
Okay.
So here's the thing. That is, I would, can I get my phone number? Is that weird?
Sure. No, it's not
okay,
weird.
Okay. So my phone number is 865-924-2665.
So do it just one more time.
865-924-2665. So that's also on the website. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I want someone to call me.
Yeah, great.
Okay, because we want to like start to have a connection with the people who are ordering our meals. Mm. And people don't realize, I think, when you do all this stuff online, one, it costs money.
Yes.
And two, it's disconnection.
Right.
I'm like, Jason and I are not interested in just like providing food. We mm-hmm. want to get to know people. We want to like them get to know us.
Yes.
Because again, we need to trust each other that you know that when Jason and I say we are giving you the best food that we can.
Yeah.
We have a saying that if we don't eat it, we don't feed it.
Right.
And anybody needs to ask Jason how particular I am about our food.
Yeah.
To make sure that we are eating good food. Mm-hmm. So it's about like you can call me, ask me as many questions as you want. And then sign up to get the menu.
Fabulous. Okay, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
And I've been eating the food for weeks, the Health Box, and it is absolutely delicious, and I feel so much better. So it's incredible. And my boys like it. They just say, Mom, don't tell me it's vegan and don't tell me it's nutritional. Let me just enjoy how good it tastes. I'm like, okay, all right. So again, you can find information about all of Jason and Deanne's offerings on practicethebasics.com and viveacademy.org.
Right.
And so we hope that we'll see so many of you in the coming Saturdays over at St. James. In the afternoon to enjoy the restorative movement class and the heart group. And Deanne, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the podcast and thank you for being you in this world and setting your bold, wild heart free to offer all this tremendous goodness that I genuinely believe the world needs. So thank you.
No, thank you. I love you, Caroline.
I love you too, Deanne.